Hello and welcome to a brand new episode of It's About Bravo. We're back. I'm Reed.
And I'm Maddie.
It's just Reed and Maddie on the mic today. The View roundtable that we have going on It's About Bravo right now is in full force. We took a week off for Thanksgiving. Right before that, you guys heard from Zach, Annie, and Maddie. Before that, it was me and Annie. As we told you guys a few weeks ago, Mo is on a little hiatus, but we are going to catch up with him here shortly in this episode to talk about all the things he's got going on in the styling world, which is really exciting. But yeah, we're just kind of rotating the View roundtable. And this week, you guys got really unlucky. You got Reed back on the mic with Maddie.
I'm wondering if like the listeners love it, like that we're always changing it up, because I think that's more fun to kind of get other people's opinions every week.
I agree.
It's definitely gonna, like, during the holidays, it makes it so much easier to kind of have a flow in and out so people can spend time with the family, travel, do all that.
Literally, it's just busy time. I just had a birthday. I'm a Sag, guys. I just turned 32 a couple days ago.
Happy birthday.
Everybody wish me happy birthday. But yeah, so we just all have so much happening right now. We're going to continue to rotate the round table. I hope you guys like it. And it does kind of keep things fresh because y'all know my opinions can definitely rattle Zach's cage for sure, Mo's cage. So yeah, it's good to kind of get a mixture on here, but I'm so happy to be back. I've been watching Bravo, feeling re-energized after BravoCon, and just really wanting to jump in. So without further ado, let's get into
That's My Opinion.
So just a few things on our kind of list this week for My Opinion. Maddie, you had been talking right before we hit record on some summer house, winter house stuff. So
So Danielle was on Watch What Happens Live this week and she brought Joe Bradley as a date. So they are hot and heavy right into it. Joe Bradley is from Southern Hospitality. If you guys aren't familiar, I think the relationship is a little bit thirsty. I'll say it. Like, of course, they want to keep their shows going. And Danielle's a little, if you're watching Winter House this season, she's a disaster. Like, she just broke up with her long-term boyfriend that she was living with. So now she's kind of like on the rebound era. And I think she wants to kind of stay in the Bravo sphere so her name stays out there. Along with that, we found out they're doing a Winter House reunion, which this is the first time they've done it in three seasons. They have a giant cast this season, so I'm not sure how the reunion's going to work. Maybe we'll do a Patreon on it because I'm actually really liking the season of Winter House. So look forward to that.
Every year I say I'm going to give it a chance and then I don't. I saw, like, isn't Tom Schwartz on it or is Sandoval?
Tom Schwartz is on it. There's three people from Below Deck, which is really great.
That's
Family
cool.
Karma, Brian. People were hating it from the beginning. They're like, these people don't even know each other. And I'm like, exactly. We need some new dynamics. We don't need the same four guys from Southern Charm, the same two people from Vanderpump, the same three from Summer House. Like, I think a little change of it all.
It's kind of fun. It's like you're bringing it all. It's like almost like BravoCon, but in like the form of a show.
Yes.
So real quick housekeeping, guys, our Patreon account, we are continuing to put bonus episodes out on there. It is $3 a month, so it's pretty cheap, and it goes a long way in helping us you can support this podcast and help us keep everything going. We had our most recent episode is It's About Selling Sunset, Season 7. I got on with my friend, Cooper. Me and my friends are obsessed with Selling Sunset on Netflix. And so we talked about the latest. Right before that, Maddie and I dove into Big Brother season 25. Kind of, it was a part two. Next week, I know Maddie and Zach plan, and I think maybe even Annie plan to talk about Southern Charm again. We had a Southern Charm episode this fall, but we're going to do another one.
We're going to do another one, a Married to Med one. We have a lot coming up. That's kind of the good thing about the holidays is our workflow is a little bit shorter. I mean, I don't have a job, so what workflow? But other people can hop on the bike more and we can record some more Patreon. So definitely during the winter when you're like bored with your family, want to go take a walk, cooking in the kitchen, listen to the Patreon. We'll have some good episodes for you guys.
Yeah, please consider subscribing to our Patreon. Again, $3. It goes such a long way. And we are putting more bonus content out there for you guys. We aim to get at least two episodes on there a month. Here and there we fall short just when schedules get crazy, but we are ramping it up. I know Annie wants to do one on Drag Race because she's like literally watching Drag Race for the first time. So she's like, I don't remember what season she's on, but she's making her way through. And I did that during the pandemic for the first time. So I would love to join her on that one. I'm watching Selling the OC seasons 1 and 2 on Netflix right now. Season 2 is like apparently amazing. I'm almost there. And then we're going to do something on that. couple of my friends have never seen the original run of Miami seasons 1 through 3. So the other night we watched the season 2 episode with Joanna Kupra and her sister Marta when Lisa Hochstein has the
lingerie party.
The lingerie party, and like Adriana punches Joanna in the face. Like, literally, see, the original run of Miami is god tier. People sleep
it's
on
it. It's so good.
So I want to do like a Miami rewatch. You know, we like to do a lot of rewatch episodes on our Patreon. So like me, Maddie, and my brother Layton did one on Real Housewives of Atlanta seasons 1 through 4 because he's on his Atlanta journey. I want to go back to that and do like part 2 with like seasons 5 through 9. So lots and lots of content on the horizon. Again, our Patreon is in our bio in the link. So give it a subscription and let us know what you think. Back to the That's My Opinion segment. So lots going on in the Winter House, Summer House world. We'll get into this a little bit more in the Beverly Hills segment, but word on the street is that Anne Marie Wiley is being demoted.
To friend of, which friend is of. So weird.
That'll be well, you know, her husband is in the middle of a sexual assault lawsuit allegation.
Yeah.
Standing by his side. He made transphobic comments in the past and she didn't seem to care. So I think she kind of came onto this with controversy. And bad timing. It's the first week she's on the show, but yeah, exactly.
Literally.
She might be demoted. So that's going on.
Another demotion in Orange County, a heartbreak, a loss. Taylor Armstrong did not get a contract for the next season of Real Housewives of Orange County.
So my opinion on this is I loved the concept of her being on. I was so excited. From an execution standpoint, I don't think she did quite enough. I can see why she didn't get asked back, but I was hoping, I just had my fingers crossed that they would just let her back on one more season and really give her a chance to shine. She was a little bit of a wallflower in a lot of the scenes, but she did do, like, Zach feels like she was a great friend of.
I feel like she did fine as a friend of. Like, there's no reason for her not to come back. It's not like she was boring the entire time she was there and she gave a little bit. I don't know. I just had,
you had a whole storyline with Heather. So, I mean,
yeah.
I was really excited about that. It was the first time ever that a housewife appeared on another show in a casting capacity. And I was excited.
Yeah, I was excited. But the rumors are that Alexis Bellino is maybe signing on for the next season. And maybe that's why Taylor was demoted. Jesus jugs. And maybe that's why Taylor was demoted, to make money for Alexis. I'm not sure.
Yeah. The way that I met Alexis Bellino at BravoCon, but not at BravoCon, I met her at Piranha, the gay bar. And I was like intoxicated as hell. Don't remember the photo. I looked at my phone the next day. I had this beautiful blonde woman with her arms wrapped around me. I look, lights are on, no one's home in my face. And I was like, who is this? And Zach was like, are you fucking kidding me, Reed? Like, are you kidding me? So like, I had no idea who this woman was when she came up to me. She was like dancing her way. I remember she like approached me. She was like dancing. Anyways, she seemed
she was great TV.
I'm an Alexis Bellino hater, and I don't even know her. I gotta get into my OC watch era because
You'll have time. They're not even filming for the next season. You have time.
Yeah. So all that's going on. What else? Did we have anything else on My Opinion in terms of like
nothing really? I was gonna say nothing really crazy. Rachel or Raquel is coming out with a podcast. Blah. That's really all I have to say about that.
Nene
is friends with Bravo again.
Is courting a Bravo. I'm feeling like that Atlanta reboot is coming, and I have a feeling that they want Nene on it. And I think Nene knows her and Portia could fucking save that whole franchise.
They could. And she deleted all the stuff off her feed from her podcast with Bethany.
She said, I don't know her.
Literally. And followed Bravo back, and Bravo followed her back. So it's in the works, people. It's in the works.
Yeah, there's a lot going on. Did I dream that something happened with Jersey? Did an announcement come out about Jersey?
I think he might have dreamed that.
He would know.
I'm watching old Jersey, so my mind is all fogged.
Yeah. Maddie would know for sure. Well, we know you guys are missing Mo a lot, and Mo is so busy right now styling some Bravo Lebs that we love. And Maddie actually had an opportunity yesterday to catch up with Mo a little bit. Maddie, want to tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, I miss Mo just as much as you guys do. He's literally almost missing in our group chats half the time. He'll come back every here and there, but he's just been so busy. So we got to catch up on who he's styling, what big projects him and his partner have coming up, Coulson. And then he kind of gave a little quick fire on what he's thinking of the Bravo universe right now.
Let's listen in on the little segment that Maddie did with Mo.
Okay, guys, I'm here with someone everyone has missed. It's the name on everybody's lips. It's Modesto.
Hi everyone. I have missed being on the mic so fucking bad. Like I'm in the group chat with Maddie and Annie and Zach and Reed every day. I do have it muted, I'm not gonna lie. But I do check in. And when I check in, I'm like, I miss being on that fucking mic. So I was like, please get me on, like put me in, coach. So I thought it'd be fun to just like come on and kind of share everything that I've been doing. I haven't even gotten to come on since BravoCon.
Yeah, we need like the scoop on like obviously the listeners know you've been like killing it in the fashion areas of all things Bravo. We know about you styling Madison all of BravoCon and her looking like tens across the board. But like give the listeners a little update because they miss you. They miss our ADD podcast going off the rails.
Literally the crazy, our crazy ADD podcast. It's been incredible. I want to start with saying like Maddie knows that I'm an insane manifester and like the power of manifestation is so fucking crazy. And I sound like a TikTok juju like crazy person right now. But like I always tell Maddie will text me and be like, hey, is it a new moon? Like what, how can I
Like,
manifest?
I need to manifest right now.
And I'm like, girl, I got you. So I've been manifesting this for so fucking long. Just becoming like a personal stylist, like in my own right. Like I have a lot of personal clients who have been personal styling for a long time who are like really, really wealthy New Yorkers. And that's fun. There's not really a lot of fun in that, but like I've been personal shopping for them and doing all that stuff. That was my old gig. And honestly, like the power of manifestation is crazy. I've been writing down like I had styling housewives. I had styling a reunion. I had styling a confessional. I had styling Watch What Happens Live, like bullet pointed in my manifestations list. And I always do my manifestations by expressing gratitude for the day and then manifesting what I want. That's my big thing. And I do it probably like 3 times a week. I also listen to manifestation frequencies on
Me like
Spotify.
taking notes on all this. I'm like, okay, I need a job. So what do I need to be doing?
You have to listen to the frequencies. So, because energy matters and like, if you listen to manifestation frequencies while you're manifesting, it like puts them out into the universe. It's fucking science, y'all. Anyways, and it kind of all happened. You guys know how it happened with Brynn, and then Madison came along, who has been, guys, when I say Madison is by far the easiest client we've ever had. Like my boyfriend and I are obsessed with her. She is so willing, open to try anything. She's just like, yeah,
And
put it
she's
on.
like obsessed with y'all. Like,
Yeah, I absolutely love her.
Mo will send us screenshots of like outfits he's sending her and be like, oh, guys, look at this. Like, look at this. And the reaction from her, like in the chat, is just like, thank you guys so much. Oh my God, I love this. Like, kikiing with you guys. Like, it's a true like friendship.
Oh yeah, it's like truly like, I mean, she FaceTimed us like the other night, because if you guys have seen Madison, she has like cunty ass haircut, which is very not her. Like she's been super extensioned, like long hair girly. So she was really nervous about this haircut. So I fell asleep in my bed at like maybe midnight, and my boyfriend is up watching Suits, and I hear him on the phone, and I'm the kind of person that when you wake me up, I'm fucking mad.
Yeah.
I looked at him with like the death glare, like, I'm gonna punch you in the face right now. And he just like points his phone at me and it says Madison LaCroix. And I was like, hey. She called us and then she goes, can I FaceTime y'all? And we were like, yeah, for sure. So she's showing us the hair. And it was right before we styled her for a L'Oreal red carpet in LA, which we also did some work with Sierra for virtually because Sierra was there with her. And Sierra ended up using a gown that we had. Because we shipped a lot of stuff. So we ship stuff to Charleston for Madison to try, and then we do virtual try-ons, and then we just ship it back. It's like a whole lot of FedEx work
Yes.
when the client is out of town. But yeah, I mean, like it's literally like a friendship. We were on the phone with her for like an hour, like just talking to her about the haircut because I love it. And she got it cut like a little sharper. If you guys saw today, she posted like
Yes, it's
it
like a
looked.
like bob.
Yeah, it's Bob. The Bob is bobbing. It looked so good. But like with that said, she's truly like just a dream client. She's so open to trying everything. Her body is fucking bananas. Like,
Bananas. It, I
yeah.
mean, it all started with your guys' BravoCon looks for her, which after you guys styled her for BravoCon, it's just funny. Every single like big name Bravo account was like, everyone tell me your best dress. Like ours was Madison LaCroix. Like Madison LaCroix was on everyone's lips from her BravoCon looks. And I think like not only the reaction that she got from everybody solidified you guys, but like how much she liked you guys to begin with. So she liked you guys and then everyone ate it up. So she's like, yeah, I'm staying with you guys forever. And now yeah, like, look yeah, at what's literally. Happening.
It's crazy because she was like, I mean, you, if you guys follow me on socials, she sent me like sent my boyfriend and I, who's my styling partner, like the most beautiful fucking bouquet of flowers. It was stunning with a really nice vase. And we like FaceTimed her and she was like, okay, did I do good? I just like, she's like, my team sent me like five and I picked one. And I was like, yeah, you did amazing. This is so pretty. But with the BravoCon looks, like we had a few meetings with her. She flew out. We did a fitting. And
she flew out. All expenses is paid.
All expenses paid. Flew out. And she literally flew out for like half a day. Like flew out, came to our apartment, did some shopping in the city. And then we just wanted, like, she's already so hot and she has good style. We just wanted to elevate it to a like major fashion point.
Mm-hmm.
And I about died during BravoCon. We were in her hotel room. So we would go, we didn't go to the actual con.
The actual con.
We styled her and then she would go and then she'd come back and we'd style her again and then she would leave. And we just had her like hotel room key. So we were in her hotel room like the entire time, just like waiting for her, which was fab. And they had a really nice pool. We laid out by the pool. It was like, but it was exhausting. We had us like 7 a.m. call times every day. So she was up at 5 and we'd be there by 7 to where she was almost done with hair and makeup. And then we would just like be, and it, when I'm telling y'all, she is so easy. Like she would just be like, yep, that one. Yep, that one. Like, yep, fine. Look, just put it on me. I love it. This is great. Oh, and then
I love that.
My favorite thing is seeing like when the client gets so happy, like Madison would get so happy when she was like, oh my God, I love this. Like it's like the glee in her eye, even though she was so tired and we were so tired. And by like day 4, cause she started on Thursday doing like the Raising Cane's event. And then she did an event for a hair company. And it was just like, we were all exhausted, but like still the fashion brought it out in her. And our last like a look that we did was for the Watch What Happens Live for the reading room. And they don't tell you what Watch What Happens Live you're going to be on or who you're going to be with. So it was really hard to try to figure out the look.
What to wear. Cause like you don't want to dress her too much. And then she's next to all the like Southern Hospitality cast.
Yeah.
Or dress so her like too chill and she's next to like Lisa Vanderpump, you know?
Yeah. That was our mistake with one of the first ones. We didn't know what the first Watch What Happens Live was. And we went all out with the Paco Rabanne, like sparkly mini dress one. And I think she was just in the audience for that one. So it was kind of fuck. And it's hard, y'all. Like, there's a lot of Bravo Labs there. And I will say, like, only one of our looks was taken by another Bravo Lab. Like, not the same. Obviously, not the exact same dress. It was the exact same dress. But, like, we packed it. Their stylist packed it. And it was same day we were going to wear that dress. And I was on Instagram, saw a photo and was like,
we can't wear it.
Yeah. And it was Candace from Potomac. So, if we're pulling the same level as Candace, like, you know, it's a good...
Yeah.
Candace ate almost all of BravoCon. Like I really loved almost every one of her looks.
Yeah.
So it was, that was hard. And then the last one, we went with this like corset white, like shirt dress and she looked so fab in it. It was one of our favorite looks from the original, but it was very casual. And Colson, my boyfriend, was like, something in me is telling me that you need to wear a gown. And she was like, are you sure? Like, I'm so tired. It's the last day. I'm flying out. Like, I don't know if I want to do a full gown. And I was like, yeah, why? And he kept pushing and was like, no, let's do the gown. So we put the gown on and it was spectacular. And she was like, yeah, I love this. Whatever. If I'm overdressed, then who cares? I look like $1 million. And I was like,
yeah. You do.
And that was the fucking reading room one where it was only her, Kate and Reza that were non-housewives. Everyone else was major, major housewives.
Yeah, like you had the Real Housewives of Dubai, you had Beverly Hills, you had like the reading room is like the iconic people of housewives. Like it's the girls who can read. So the fact that Madison LaCroix was just like up there with them, it's like, oh, I got chills. Like she's getting so big and how cool that you're like a part of this with her.
I know, I'm obsessed with it. Like she texted us in the room and she was like, thank God that we changed into that gown last minute, guys, because like I'm sitting next, I just took a selfie with Erica Jane and I'm like, they gave us the seating and I'm next to Lisa from I always say Lessa from Dubai.
It's spelled Lessa.
It's spelled Lessa. And I was like, oh my God, this is insane. But I know I got chills too. Like Madison is so on the rise and it's like about time. If you guys have listened to this podcast, we have been stands of her from like day.
As soon as she was brought in as like a friend of on Southern Charm or a girlfriend of on Southern Charm, like she's always been like that it girl. Like she was the first like Southern Charm girl that like wasn't afraid to kind of like other than Catherine, but like wasn't afraid to like say what everyone else was thinking. She wasn't all high society poised. She ran her mouth and like we were like eating it up.
We ate it up. And then remember like last year when she was a friend of and we were like, what the fuck is going on? Like,
yes. And last season fucking sucked.
It sucked. And now this season she's a narrator and it just makes so much sense to have her because she is like not like super, she's in the focal of the drama, but she's not like the main mess, which is yes. like the tailor, the chef, the awesome, all of that.
She's just like still adding in her little two cents. Now,
but she
you...
added even more because she's was used to date Austin. So it's like a whole thing.
It literally is a whole thing. And like, so now we've talked all the BravoCon. Can you talk about like what's happening in the future for styling?
Yeah. So what's today? The 30th. I have, yeah, I don't know. I probably can't say the exact date, but in the next week, we are finalizing the Southern Charm reunion look for Madison. Dress and jewelry are locked in.
Yes.
And looking for some fucking statement shoes, which has been a really hard struggle because nobody wants to make good shoes anymore.
Seems like nobody wants to make good shoes anymore.
Nobody wants to make good shoes anymore. And it's wild because so we did the L'Oreal event in LA with Madison and she wore this gorgeous gold Jason Wu gown, which was one of my favorite things that she's worn. Stunning. And I was doing a pool. I was working with Bryn yesterday, which we'll talk about that in a second. And I had to do some returns while Bryn was in the shoot. So while we were doing these returns, we ran into the head of retail for Jason Wu, which is this major fucking brand. And we had known him and we were talking to him. And I was like, oh, I put my client in the dress. And he was like, can I see the pictures? And he was like, holy fucking shit, she is gorgeous. Yeah. Will you send these to me so I can send them to Mr. Wu? And I was like, yeah, I will do that. And
oh my God, that's major.
I'm major. So we just kept being like, I know, you know, New York Fashion Week coming up in February. Like, yeah, we'd love to get a seat with her there. And he was like, yeah,
that'd be so cool for Madison too.
And she would love it. And she's just like she loves like that classic, like mm-hmm. dress kind of vibe. Like, even though she's so hot, like she does love like a princess little moment. And I love that. As opposed to like super sexy. I love that she can go in between both.
Because yeah.
Has the body, but like I think what a lot of people don't know about Madison is she's 5'3", so she's very little, as she says. She's like, I'm compact. Like, she has body, but she's very little, and she even in person, like she carries herself as someone who is Bryn's height, who's like 5'10". I never noticed how short
she is. It's the bad bitch energy. It just makes her taller.
It's the bad bitch energy. We sent this one dress to LA that it was like so long, and she sent us a video of it. And my boyfriend goes, can you put the really high Prada platforms on with it? And she was like, baby, I'm wearing the Prada platform.
Like still on the ground.
The dress was fully on the ground. I was like, oh no. So we have Southern Charm Reunion coming up. We'll be on site for that, which will be really
You'll be
fun.
On site for that?
Yeah, we'll be on Shut site.
Shut the fuck up.
Yeah, we'll be at the actual reunion.
If you don't tell Craig, I am his biggest fan. Please.
I might FaceTime you, Maddie. I'm gonna be like, sure, he would love it.
Don't FaceTime me in the shower like you guys did when you had Bryn on the pod.
I will make sure you are not in the shower. I'll get Paige and Craig in there.
Oh my God, I'd fucking die.
Yeah, so we're gonna be on site for that. That is in the next 2 weeks. Madison is flying out, which is really fun. We have some fun stuff planned too, because like in Vegas, we didn't get a chance to like fully go out with her because she was so tired. We went to Paige's birthday party and she had stopped by and got us in. And then by the time we got there, Madison had already left. She went to Bravo after dark. She was so, so, so tired, which I understand like that. She was
She's having 5 a.m. call times. It's probably like it's been a full like 18 hours.
Yeah. Some of these girls have been up and still went out. And I'm like, I don't know how y'all did it. But so we didn't get to go out with her. But in New York, we have some fun stuff planned. We have some going out looks. We have a really fucking cunty, like, you know how they enter the reunion? Like,
yes.
So we have something
like from their cars with their bags and their dresses.
We have something real fun planned for that. I'm like, it's the inspo is very Hailey Bieber, like New York streetwear. Like,
I love.
Yeah, it's gonna be fab. And then we just shot a major campaign with Brynn. I don't know when that's gonna be live, but we were on site for that yesterday. It was in a really, really beautiful house in the West Village. The team was fucking incredible. It's for like a really big brand. It should go live like soon because I know it's a holiday campaign.
Probably holiday. Yeah. Maybe like New Year's-y just because I know the brand.
Yeah. You know the brand. So maybe totally New Year's-y. But there's, like a, there's something involved with it that it might go out sooner because they like buy New Year's that thing to go out. It's, I don't know. It's really big. It's kind of, it's so weird because like when you do all of this work, like Maddie knows that I'm doing all this and I'm texting them on site.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't come out for like weeks or months sometimes in advance.
Yeah. Well, like same Rolling with like Stone. The Jessel. Yeah, I was going to say the Jessel Rolling Stone. We knew about that for so long. I was keeping my mouth shut for so long. I just want to tell everybody I knew.
Yeah, that was at least like two, like at least almost 6 weeks because it was like by the end of the season. It had to go out when this finale aired, like the day after.
Yeah.
Which has been wild. And that was even wild at BravoCon. I think it was Taylor from Southern Charm. We were in the elevator and she was like, oh my God, y'all are Rolling Stone. And we were like, oh, yeah, we are. And Madison was like, well, they're also mine.
Yeah.
I was like, yeah, we're hers now, which was fun. It was just fun also keeking with the Bravo Labs. And also my boyfriend does not watch Bravo, y'all. Like he is now watching Bravo because of me.
I'm going to say this pisses me off because he is living my dream. Like he's like, who's so-and-so? Who's so-and-so? And I'm like, just the best people on Bravo. What do you mean? Like he's just bumping shoulders with like literally the people I've been watching for years.
No, literally. At one point I remember we were walking down the lobby and he was like, oh, I like that guy's jacket. And then we like went to talk to said guy. It was Tom Sandoval. And like, there's one point we were in the
that
elevator.
Guy. Like, that guy. Only the biggest scandal that happened this year on Bravo.
No, literally. And I was explaining it to him and I'm like, that's the one with the cheating and the Ariana. We're watching Dancing with the Stars because he's an ex performer, like current performer. So I'm like, you know, that's the girl. That's what she got.
Oh my God.
He's like, oh my God. And then we were in the elevator with Sheena once and he was like, who's that girl on the baby? I was like, and at one point we were by the pool and he was like, that guy's kind of hot, like in like a daddy seedy way. And I was like, well, that's Jen from OC's husband. That's Ryan.
Like literally knows nobody. And he's just like, oh.
Yeah, it was like truly not a soul he knew. But she was like, and then this is so funny. So we took a video of Leva and Madison walking down the hallway into the big like green penthouse because everyone was staying at the one hotel and then at the top floor was a penthouse where they would all drink and get ready. Like when they were done getting ready, they would drink and wait for the SUVs to come up to take them to wherever they were going next.
I love all this behind the scene we're getting.
Yeah, it was so that was on the 61st floor and Madison was on like 28. So we would like go up with her, sit there for a minute. And when you got into that room, it was like everyone was there, like James Kennedy, like anyone who wasn't a housewife was there because housewives were staying at Four Seasons, which was connected to the same hotel that everyone else was staying at. But I'll give you some tea here. The hotel that the non-housewives were staying at was much better in room size. So
really?
Yeah, I will say by like day two, I did see Erica Jane's team moving her stuff in. And I saw team moving her stuff in as well.
Well, they probably just assume like Four Seasons is like the best, you know? So that's why they booked it for the housewives.
It was much different. There was no casino in it. Like it was like, it was a true like 5-star hotel. But I went to Jessel's room too, because we styled Jessel for one day of BravoCon and her room was much smaller than like the other Bravo Labs room. And she was like, wait a minute now. I was like, oh, yeah, this room's tiny compared. But yeah, I mean, it's just if BravoCon was fucking crazy. Like seeing every Bravo Lab in real time and real sight was wild. It was the video, that's what I was talking about. I lost.
Yeah, I was like, we got to get back to the level.
Where
are we going? It's happening.
The ADD. So I'm out of my Adderall, guys. It's not overnighted.
It's anyway, a shortage. It's a nationwide shortage.
So my boyfriend is like, who's Leva? And I was like, what? And he was like, she just DM'd me to send her a video. He's like, what video did I take of Leva? And I was like, first of all, it's Leva. Second of all,
I'm going to kill him.
Yeah, like it's the video he took of them walking down the hallway. And he's like, oh, okay, work.
I'm going to skin Coulson and become Coulson so that I can just like have this life.
I mean, literally, I was telling Maddie on Thanksgiving, he was like, who's this woman that's verified that followed me and hands me his phone? And it's Rachel Fuda.
Like literally, like Jersey Housewife, like you guys are just going to be so big. Like,
yeah,
I'm so excited for you. I think Madison and Brynn are like going to be your guys's ticket to everything. Like, yeah. How cool would it be if you start styling celebs that aren't even Bravo labs?
Yeah, I mean, that's the goal. And like, but the goal also is like, it's great because like we got these first two and like three, because so we're still sometimes
still Jessel. Yeah.
Like, it just depends on her projects. Like if she needs us for a project, but like she has so much going on that she doesn't truly need.
She's so busy. Yeah.
We'll be working more with Jessel, like come season two.
Yeah.
If she'll be back. I don't know. I don't know. I'm not allowed to spill that tea, but you know, if they'll all be back.
If Brynn and Jessel don't come back, I ain't watching it. So take that, Bravo.
Well, you'll be watching it. Anyway. yeah, I mean, we'll be working with them more season two. But like with Madison and Brynn, it's like we got to ones that we like love, and we love Jessel too. Like we love the three girls that we started working with. They all are so different in their own way, and they all are just like, I mean, like we were talking about Brynn yesterday. My boyfriend had been going through like something, and she had asked about it in the fitting room that we were in, and we were talking for like most of our fittings with Brynn will go with like 30 minutes of trying on clothes because she's so hot and everything works, and then it'll be an hour and a half of us just sitting on the fitting room floor like if someone cries every time, like spilling out our deepest things. And then like a week later, we went to the shoot, and she was like, after the shoot, literally after a full day, she's like so tired, lays on the bed of this home and is like, oh, babe, I forgot to ask you, like, how's this going? And is like pats the bed and is like, come sit with me. And it's just like she's so
personable. Like you're the people that you're styling, you got some really good girls because they care about you guys. Like, and that's really the other thing. Everything that they post that you guys have done for them, they'll tag you, which I feel like isn't common. A lot of times you'll see like some great looks on Bravo Labs and they don't tag anybody. And it's like, you did not come up with that. I see what you wear on TV.
There was a Bravo Lab that did a TV show yesterday morning, and I was maybe one of the people that I mentioned at BravoCon whose looks I loved. And I was like looking in all of her things, and I'm like, there's no tags of the stylist. And then I looked on the stylist page and he was posting all the looks, and I'm like, oh, so he did do the look and was at the TV show this morning, but you didn't tag him.
Yeah, they don't, not everyone's as appreciative as the girls that you got. And I think that's like says so much about
them.
Not
everyone is so like open to you getting new clients. Like there's something with Madison. We had when we were helping Sierra virtually, she was like, you know, I want you guys to get anyone and everyone that you can get. Like, mm-hmm. I'm, you know, if you guys are okay with me helping her with this dress that you guys sent me, like, then I am okay with you getting whoever you want. Like, she's so open. And that's a true, like, person who wants you to do the
best. You to succeed. Exactly.
And I will say something with Madison is she's true to her word. Like, she's put us in touch with so many big people and so many brands and like to know and all these things for us to make money and like pursue our business and like get our business further. And she's done like all of that without like, there's nothing in it for her. Like she's truly doing it for us to continue. And like, that's something that we will never forget. And we're not going to forget our first two, three girls. Like we're like,
yeah, these girls got you where you like want to be in the future.
I think we're so lucky that we started working with them right when their season is near its end, to where next season is picking up and we're like already talking about next season looks. Like
exactly.
We're doing shopping with Madison when she's in the city for next season, like everyday looks and like confessionals. And
yeah,
we helped with the last confessional that I don't even think has aired yet. Like
it hasn't aired. I've been looking.
Yeah.
I've been looking.
Yeah, that wasn't there yet. But yeah, I mean, there's so much going on, and we're just like, I mean, we're really grateful and so excited. And I'm so gonna pop in and do these every now and then. I want to talk a little bit about the state of Bravo.
We've talked fashion for I don't know how long. Like, let's give a few like your hot takes. What's going on right now? What are you loving? What are you hating? Like, quick fire. What are you thinking?
Rapid fire. Beverly Hills took a little bit of a slow burn. I will say the last like three episodes have picked up. Y'all can talk all the shit you want about Miss Sutton's track on the streets. She is fucking making this show. So like,
I love to hate her.
I'm obsessed with her. Name 'em will go down in Housewives history. Like, I mean,
Name 'em.
My favorite part of Name 'em is the long pause and then the look at Kyle. Name 'em.
Like, yeah, she literally did it again.
Because in her head, she was like, should I do it again? And then, I mean, then her face when Kyle freaks out and she was like, ooh, what? She's truly off her rocker. And I mean, this last episode, you guys will get into the full recap of it, but the dinner party from Hell Part 2, A+ Housewives All-Star work from Sutton, just like continuing to throw it in there with the somewhere being delusional about something. Like,
yeah, Sutton is, I'm like, and well, obviously, like you said, we'll get into it during the recap. So I'll go to it in length, but I love to hate Sutton because I am hating her, but without her, we wouldn't have what's going on right now. Like, it was a slow burn a little bit in the beginning, but at the same time, we do have so many franchises on right now. I'm kind of glad where it's like, now that it's taking off this week, where Salt Lake was a little bit filler, like it's doing a good, it's a good balance.
I also had to get you to a new normal with losing like Lisa Rinna, who was probably one of the biggest in Beverly Hills history. So losing her and then getting you into a place where, hey, this is world without Rinna. So we have to slow burn into everybody's relationships without Rinna, especially like Erica making her way
like set the ground floor.
Yeah, definitely setting the groundwork. I'm loving, obsessed with, I've always been obsessed with her, but I'm loving Erica Jayne more than ever.
Yeah.
She is never looked cuntier. Like, I loved that velvet pink with the gloves look. It was so good. Her body is snatched for the gods. Like, she's never looked hotter. I'm obsessed with her and the fucking, and the last episode that I listened to with you, Annie, and Zach, I was howling at you guys talking about the door opening and Erica being like, well, God gave me this. Like, and I said, I'm going to take it. Like,
she literally.
She's literally just camp. I love her. I'm loving Beverly Hills. The new girl, without everything we know about her in the press, I will say, great first scene. To be in a first scene with not only the cast that you're in with, but also Housewives legends like Cynthia Bailey and Denise and Camille, like asking questions, moving this producer along. I also want to say, moving the producer along, Miss Crystal Kung-Minkoff, great, great job in the first, like the last few episodes. First few episodes, where was she? Blink and you'll miss her.
Recent she's episode, coming to work.
She's coming to work and she's listening and I am just clapping.
Even in her confessionals.
Yes. And I'm loving every second of it. Also loving Garcelle being like, about your marriage. Like, yeah, we're all like, let's talk about it. And I will say, lastly on Beverly Hills, lesbian. Kyle has not had that look and those stars in her eyes since like season 6 with Mauricio.
Yeah. Like, I'll get into like my thoughts on it when we do the recap because I don't want to be repetitive, but
I have not seen like that love is palpable. It is coming to the screen. Those women are in love, I will tell you. And
okay.
Gala would say good for Kyle. Good for you, girl.
Yes.
Good for you. It's like a giddy 12-year-old, you can tell.
Now Salt Lake. What do you think of the Salt Lake?
Loving it, obsessed. I'm not so loving good. The gaslighting of Monica Garcia. It's like they're gaslighting her into believing that she was in the wrong when all she was doing was reacting to Lisa's reacting. And I'm not saying that either Lisa or Monica's wrong. I'm loving both of their stances on this whole feud. But what I'm saying is Heather and the rest of the girls gaslighting Monica into like she did like something so wrong when all she was doing was fighting back.
She was literally doing the exact same thing Lisa was doing in that prairie scene, whatever.
Yeah. And that was, I mean, and also I just like Lisa just giving us A+ housewife work. The legend continues, the Lisa Barr legend. And to talk fashion, like her and that complete Givenchy look at the gold plated cheap jewelry thing. She looked
not the cheap jewelry.
She looked incredible. But well, I will say about the cheap jewelry, very, very, very smart on Meredith to do that because it can be now sold to the masses and bring her brand.
Fans. Most of her fans probably can't afford like real jewelry because it's people can't.
Yeah. I mean, to get like, it's anywhere from, like she said, $60 to $500. And I think that they made the mistake of zooming in on the $2,000, $1,800, but that was her actual jewelry.
Yeah.
I think she was selling actual jewelry with her other, just to have them both there. I think it's super smart business move on Meredith's end. I love Lisa. I'm obsessed with her. I'm obsessed with her fashion. I want to style Lisa Barlow. I'm putting that out into the ether. It's on my manifestation board next. Like,
that would be top tier. And I think she would love you.
Oh, I feel like we would just like get along so well. And I'm obsessed with her. And it's so funny because like I said, my boyfriend's now watching with me. Mm-hmm. So he was like, that's full Givenchy. Like we can just look at a blazer and be like, yeah, that's Givenchy. And then like head to toe Givenchy. Like I'm obsessed with her style. I think she has the best street style out of any housewife. Like Dorit has such good like dressing up and going to the nines. But Lisa's like baggy jeans and a bomber is just like,
She just eats everything she wears, like even her casual looks, because Dorit has not been eating her casual looks. And I could, no, she's looking not. Poor.
She's looking, I think that she's in, like, it's so funny because in that, like, scene with her and the matchmaker.
Oh, that exact scene. What was she wearing? She's wearing a sweatsuit.
She well,
like a Hanes black sweatsuit.
You would look at him and be like, what the fuck is she wearing? But on my end, it's she's wearing Rick Owens. So she's going
okay.
for it's like streetwear kind of Rick Owens vibe.
It wasn't giving that.
It's so not her that I was like, this is, it's weird. I looked at my boyfriend. I was like, it's weird that she's wearing Rick. Like, it's not, that's so like not her level. But Salt Lake, I'm loving. I wish I want Mary more in the mix, but I love that we're getting just the girls coming to her home.
Mary's like, I'm not going to filming. You bring the girls to me.
Yeah. And then I did see an interview with her at Kathy Hilton's Christmas thing where she was like, I'll be on the trip next season, like for sure. So yeah. we're going to get a lot more Mary next season. But I think this was her dipping her toes in and her going into the like reunion finally.
Yeah.
Another reunion. And she her hair has never looked better. And I love that.
Yeah, she does look good. OK, Miami. What are your thoughts on Miami?
I haven't seen the latest episode of Miami, but I'm up. Almost all up to date. Larsa. What are you doing, girl?
What are you doing?
Not good, but great TV. This isn't like petty drama. It's literally cancer. How do you know?
How do you know?
A mammogram, Larsa.
No, this week it gets even. This episode that just aired is even more. Larsa's doubling down on how did you know?
I've seen the how did you know? I've seen the memes and I'm like, oh no. I'm loving Miami. I love this cast more than ever. I think that this is the best cast on Bravo right now.
They're just so good when they're fighting and they go in and out of Spanish. I'll never be over it.
I will never be over it. I love the feud between Alexia, Marisol, and Adriana. And I think that it's so camp that the last fight was brought on by farts. And I just think
flatulence. What do they keep saying?
Flatulence. Like, girl, gassy. And they were talking about you being gassy. Like, they weren't, like, talking shit about you. They were talking about your shit. Like, what?
Oh,
like,
it was so good. It's such good housewives.
Miami is so good. On to Potomac. Slow burn for Potomac. Slow burn, like Kacey Musgraves once said, it's a slow burn. I am liking the new girl and the mess that she's bringing. I texted this in the group chat and said, I wish Wendy would have just said, yeah, I knew her.
Mm-hmm.
Then it would make her look even crazier with what she's doing and the trying of it all. And it's like, she came in with an agenda, you can tell, to get onto the show and to continue being on the show. So I get that, but I wish Wendy and her husband would have just owned up to knowing them in the Nigerian community, because then it would have made her look tenfold crazy.
Crazier, exactly. Yeah.
I love my Wendy. I love all the girls on Potomac except for Giselle.
And that's the problem with this season, which I'll probably talk about in the recap. Sorry, listeners, you're going to hear it twice. But we're getting too much Giselle and Robin, and they're the least interesting people on the screens. We need more Candace. Where is Candace? Bring Candace.
Karen even said it. I know when I saw it, when I see it.
Yeah.
I saw Ira Madison posted a like article about how to fix Potomac, and he just got it all wrong for me personally. He had posted like, get rid of Ashley, get rid of Robin, get rid of Wendy, get rid of NECA. And I'm like, okay, well, first of all, NECA's too new. So we have to see more of her to even know what she's bringing. It's only a few episodes. My way to fix Potomac is get rid of Giselle and get rid of Robin. No one wants to see them anymore.
And they just take cheap shots. Like every single season, Giselle's going after someone else's marriage. And it's like...
It's so old and tired. And I don't think you get rid of Ashley. Ashley is a chaos agent. It gets tired because Ashley is
doing all the work for
Giselle.
She's
pushing the narrative that Giselle and Robin are pushing. But the thing is, if you get rid of them, then she'll push a new narrative. And no matter what it is, Ashley Darby will push and be messy. You just have to give her something to push.
You got to give her something better than what Giselle and Robin are cooking up. Yeah. Because then it just comes off mean girl.
She's even pushing the NECA and Wendy stuff. Like, she pushes whatever storyline you give her, and that's the only thing that she's pushing. I say you definitely keep Ashley. You definitely keep Candace. She's an icon, a legend in the moment. Hello.
Karen, for sure.
She's mother. You 100% keep Mia. Mia is a fucking mess. especially with her life and the divorce going on.
She is such a liar. I love to watch.
She's such a liar, but she also will accept an apology instantly.
Right away.
She's like, we're best friends now, girl. I got it.
Yep.
I love that about her. But then that apology will go out the window the second that there's a new fight with that person. So I love that. And I think that there's, I love Wendy. Maybe you get rid of Wendy, if anything, and NECA, but I like them as well. And I think that they're new. And I think that their feud could take us into new places, like throughout the seasons. Because it's so new that we don't know what it even is.
Exactly.
I'm loving that. And I will say, guys, I have been bullied into starting Married to Med this season.
And yes, you have been bullied.
I'm absolutely obsessed with it. Sweet. I will say that not a day goes by where I don't have, it's not a sugar baby. In my I love it.
It's such good TV right now.
It's such good TV. I'm obsessed with it. I don't have a lot of prior history on Married to Med. What I will say, obviously loving Phaedra because I know Phaedra. Loving Quad because I think that she's just like stunning and gorgeous and I love her fashions. Mm-hmm. And as outrageous as they are, it's just so like, you know, Atlanta fashions. Like, you know,
the
they're wearing. It's very Mugler and area. It's like the same thing that like girls are wearing on photo shoots and like all this.
Yeah.
I don't love Toya at all.
Yeah, duh.
I like Heavenly, very, very shady. I
so
like
her, shady. So shady. Some Dr. of the shit Simone, she even did like the last few seasons. Oh.
She's very shady. I could see myself getting like over her shade, but like I like what I'm seeing.
Yeah.
When Quad walked into the bachelorette party, she gave me very much Phaedra and she's like,
yeah.
She was living. And then Toya being like, oh, that's your friend now? She's like, no, I just love good TV and mess.
Yeah, literally.
Dr. Jackie, so chic. From what like I've seen of her in the past, I feel like there's a glow up that has happened. I'm not 100% sure on that, but one of my dear friends styled her for the last Married to Med reunion.
Oh,
and he helps her with some of her looks that she wears on the show. And I can see that
she's such a classy lady, Dr. Jackie.
Oh, so classy. And I loved her. Like, at one of the parties, she had like a gray long, like silk dress moment that was so chic. I think it was Tom Ford. It was so good. Simone is there. Is that a thing?
So I've always liked Simone because she's like has little funny remarks in the background. She'll like say something shady here and there underneath her breath. She brings it a little bit more. Last season was like a lot. So I feel like she's kind of taking a backseat right now.
I like her. She seems like just good energy and she's just there. Sometimes you need someone to be there. Like a little Cynthia Bailey almost adjacent.
Exactly.
And then there's a new girl, Sweet Tea. She is camp.
So funny. The best is when Elvis in our group chat will just refer to her as Sweet and Low. He'll be like, we need to get Sweet and Low doing. And I'm like, who is he talking about? And it's Sweet and Low.
Well, first of all, I'm a Splenda girl. Anyway, I think it's so like not enough Bravo fans are talking about the level of mess. Like if this happened on Housewives,
like why did they bring back Quad's ex-husband?
New girlfriend.
Yeah.
Onto the cast. You're bringing in an ex-wife in quotations, essentially. Ex-husband's new girlfriend onto the cast.
Fiance, hello. They got married last episode.
Pure mess. Wife.
Like literally, it's a mess. This has been so much fun talking with you again. I wish we could talk for hours and recap everything, but I know how busy you are. I know the listeners are probably loving this right now and so happy that you are back. Anything else you want to add before we get into the episode?
No, I will say to all the listeners, thank you for all the DMs and like commenting on all my looks. It'll be really exciting. We have a lot of stuff in the works. And I'm just super excited about what's coming. I will jump on and do another one of these. I'll come back on probably after the Southern Charm reunion and kind of give like,
yes,
you know, how it was being there, dressing Madison and all that. And yeah, I will be I'm not off the podcast, y'all. You will hear from me. I will definitely come back. Even if I'm just doing like what I'm loving in fashion and kind of like these little quick thing, like one-offs with Maddie or like Zach or Reed or Annie, whoever. I will say I'm loving the podcast. You guys are doing amazing. You're doing amazing, sweetie.
Thank you.
It's so fun having a team on now. And I will forever and always be part of the team, listeners. So I'm not going away.
Yes.
I'll be back.
Of course you will. Of course. Well, again, Mo, thank you so much. And let's get into the recaps.
Maddie, you're a great whoopee. Good job.
Thank you.
And yeah, I'm just jealous. Like Mo is getting to have some really cool opportunities right now. obviously really happy for him, jealous, but also very
completely jealous. Like, I want to be him and Coulson so bad. I'm going to move to New York and just shadow them, whatever they do.
You can be their pickles. You can be their intern.
Yeah. I wonder if they'll pay me.
Yeah. Well, we have four shows to dive into this week. So let's start with some warm weather with the Real Housewives of Miami.
I'm going to be honest with you.
Yeah.
I already knew. What I'm not happy about, obviously, is the fact that I wasn't able to tell you myself because I wanted to. Now you can understand how shocked I was to hear that this super personal news was said at a dinner. And you know, you're talking about waiters there. You're talking about bartenders there.
It was just a girl thing. I think it was like a girl. She took the girls to the side.
Okay.
And Todd and I came later.
I go see Gertie. We sit down for lunch. And then she said, well, I have breast cancer.
And then she goes, I have breast cancer. She's like, I have breast cancer.
What?
I just don't want you to be upset because your health
but
is more important.
But she needs to be corrected, period, end of story.
So we took a week off last week for the Thanksgiving holiday. What happened while we were gone?
Larsa!
Larsa, flatulence.
Being messy as hell, went and told all the ladies about Gertie's breast cancer diagnosis that Gertie specifically asked Larsa not to share with anyone.
Literally.
This week's episode was a little bit fillery, but it did come to a head at the end with sort of Gertie being very passive aggressive toward Larsa at this
point. Oh, for sure. Well, we start this episode right after the basketball game where half of the women got injured. They weren't even playing good basketball.
Honestly, we're doing a disservice not talking about last week's episode that we didn't get. Like, last week's episode was not fillery.
It was so funny. They're like them talking about farting the entire bus. And yeah, that being the drama that like set Adriana off. I was like, you're talking shit about me. And they're like, no, we're literally talking about you farting.
The fact that Adriana is ripping ass on a van or a Sprinter bus with these ladies. Sprinter vans are just the new housewife ground zero. This is where all fighting goes down. I feel like they step foot on a Sprinter van and like a demon possesses them. In the words of Adriana to Marisol, I am no longer afraid of your poison.
It was so good. There were so many good quotes coming out of it. I couldn't even pay attention. Like I had to keep like pausing, rewinding. It was so funny.
Do you think that there's any return for Marisol and Adriana? It feels like it's over for those two.
Yes, I feel like it's over. I do think there's a little bit of like lenience with Alexia because I think Alexia and Adriana both know they're on a show and they know what makes good TV, where I think Marisol is a little bit more stubborn in that sense, like does not care about the show, where Adriana will like make it work for Alexia for the show and Marisol could give two shits.
Rewatching those season two episodes the other night with my friends, you know, Adriana and Marisol were full time on season two, which I can see why they're not. Again, we've talked about it. They don't really have like a personal storyline that we care to follow. Back then, Adriana was getting married. Back then, Marisol had her mother, Mama Elsa. And she also, it's just so funny because Marisol's job, quote unquote, PR. And like her like tagline in season two is like, my job is to make fast decisions. And my friend Cooper was like, what is her job? And I was like, PR, I think. But like Marisol, I'm not really sure what Marisol does. I can see
fast decisions.
I can see why they're not full time. But back then, it was just kind of sad watching season two the other day, because in that episode where they're all at Lisa's lingerie party, Marisol and Adriana were like besties. They're like with each other the whole episode. It's such a... It's just crazy to watch like 10 years later, they are like mortal enemies, you know?
Yeah. It's really crazy what happened between those years and just kind of like the backstabbing that I think because they were so good friends that like, it hurts more when there's a fight, you know, when you have that close bond. So maybe that's why they're in the place that they are now. And we noticed it even in this episode, because she doesn't even want Marisol to come to the fuck cancer party because of everything that's going on, even though the party is for Martina and not Adriana.
I know. And it's just so funny because housewives, like a very essential housewives thing is to have a very serious, somber, like event, like about someone's cancer or like, you know, some sort of fundraiser that's really like Lisa's lingerie party being for breast cancer, honestly. And then being like, no, we're all going to be grown women here. We're all going to rise above the drama. This is about something bigger. And then it never it always ends in a giant explosion.
Well, Julia even called to like extend the invitation with Marisol, and Adriana's in the car whispering, tell her that it's at my house. Tell her it's at my house. And Marisol first was like, I'd love to come. I'd love to celebrate Martina. That sounds great. And she's like, it's actually at Adriana's house. And then she's like, actually, I'm having a procedure that day. And yeah, I'm too busy.
yeah. And of course, like, love how chaotic Adriana is. But of course, Adriana is the one hosting because it kind of puts her in a position where, mm-hmm. you know, you have to rise above your drama with me to come here into my home, like where she can still be in control. Right. And
yeah,
it's just go ahead.
Oh, you can go. I was going to say, I said maybe her ketamine treatment will get her on the right path to mending it with Marisol.
maybe. This episode, they were at a Formula One race, and it's actually Lisa who was the bone carrier this time. She's the one who tells Gertie, yeah, Larsa told all of us that you have cancer.
Yeah. Well, she didn't. She tried to like weasel her way in. She's like, I know about your problems. And Gertie's like, what problems? And she's like, your health problems. And she's like, I knew it was Larsa. She's like, I planted it.
It's, yeah, you know, Lisa, I'm waiting for Lisa to kind of clock in because she carried so much of the last season with her Lenny divorce. I know it's mm-hmm. coming because I was rewatching the teaser trailer yesterday. It was like Peacock autoplayed it on the home screen. And like, I forgot Lisa and Alexia are going to go at it. There's like a scene of
them. Oh, yeah.
So, I mean, there's plenty on the horizon with these ladies. I have to quickly side Wendy Williams pivot. Julia singing opera.
I've never sung in my life.
It's definitely, I'm glad it's not her job. I'll say that. I'm glad it's her passion.
I am laughing out loud every scene that I hear Julia. Like, just like,
you can't even do it.
The freaking top of her lungs.
Funny. And that it's funny that that's kind of like the fuck cancer party was all around the opera singing. Like, that made me giggle. That's why I like Miami, because there's obviously a serious stuff going around with like two cancer diagnoses in the cast, basically divorce, but they always have these light, funny moments that make it easy to watch. I was also kind of loving the scene of Alexia and Nicole and their husbands making pizza, because I feel like that shows them getting back on a good path, because yeah. obviously Anthony and what's his name?
Todd.
The gringo. Todd.
The gringo.
I mean, I'm a gringo, but they're just... Anthony and Todd obviously left off on a bad foot last season, so I'm glad they're doing this little stuff to kind of merge the group a little bit in that sense.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Nicole last season was on constant defense, and this season it feels like she's kind of earned her place in this friend group. No one's really coming for Nicole right now. But I like when people are coming for Nicole, because remember when she's in the mirror on the wall?
She's too good. Yeah.
She is petty as hell. And we need Dr. Nicole to really clock back in. Alexia and Todd, like, just, I'm just curious. Like, do you think that there are marital problems? Do you think that there's any substance to that?
I don't know. What did Adriana say Todd said to her? Right on the nose.
He was basically like, it wasn't you, it's really just issues I have to work out with her.
Yeah.
But I don't, and Lisa Hochstein confirmed I was right next to Adriana when he said it, and that is what he said. So Adriana is not lying, but
yeah, I think maybe it's to do with, maybe he's, it's not actual marital problems. It's more to be like, okay, you're in my life. You're my wife now. And your friends cause drama for me. I don't maybe want you hanging with these friends anymore. Maybe it's a situation on that. Like not much the marriage, but like them fighting over like who she surrounds herself with.
Yeah, because even though he made it sound like to Adriana that it's not her, it's him and Alexia's issue. That's not his, his actions don't align to that. Like in other scenes, he has said it was her. And you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like his whole reason for not coming upstairs, he said later, was like, you had people in this house who talked, who spilled on our name.
Yeah.
Anyway.
I'm curious to see how that'll turn out. I also have to talk about the podcast. We do not need to watch Housewives record a podcast.
I've had it. Enough.
You know what?
I've just about had it. I've just about had it. I don't need
There's
to hear
a reason most of the time podcasts are for listeners and not viewers. We don't need to watch them set up the mics, sit and talk. And the way Larsa speaks, if her and Meredith ever did a podcast collaboration, that would be the perfect like sleep meditation for me. They both are so calm and slow. And I'm like, I can't believe both these women have podcasts.
And yeah, I just like, who's listening to these podcasts? And I know that's rich coming from me, but who's listening? Who's listening to Meredith Marks and Seth Marks talk about their marital problems? And who's listening to Larsa?
There's so many Housewives podcasts. There's obviously like there's Two Teas in a Pod. Marge has one. Teresa has one. I think Melissa Gorga has one. Like, and they're not making the charts. They're not what people are listening to on the daily basis. More people, I think, listen to recap podcasts than actual Housewives podcasts.
What about like Two Teas in a Pod? Do they do pretty well?
I think they do because they're a recap podcast because they're not talking about their lives. They're talking about the shows.
I know. I feel like if you like every famous person these days has a podcast and it's like how like even Andy Cohen has a podcast. I'm like, how do you have time? Like you already are like on Watch What Happens Live every night. You've got your Sirius X. I think his podcast actually is his Sirius X radio show, but it's like.
No, it's not needed. I get so annoyed when like I see I'm side pivot. I'm watching, well, it's over Love Island Games and it was Love Island people from all over the world. And there's one girl that really popped off that I've loved since her first season of US. And everyone's in the comments like, you need to start a podcast with so-and-so. And it's like, no, she doesn't. She does not need to start a podcast. I'm loving her. We watch her. We don't like to listen to her.
We absolutely
We do not need to start a podcast just because we like somebody.
No, we don't. Miami is overall, like, I'm having a great time. I think Miami and Salt Lake are definitely carrying right now, but we're going to get into Beverly Hills because it carried this week.
It carried.
But overall, you know, a little bit of a transitional episode for our Miami ladies. The very end of the episode really seemed to ramp up with the inevitable Larsa-Gertie confrontation. I think that's going to be a big key thing in the season.
Because you can't joke about cancer. I mean, there was a point where Larsa even called Nicole and asked if Gertie was faking the cancer.
I know. Like, I saw someone call, like, Larsa the cancer police. And, like, Larsa is...
How do you know? How do you know?
This is the thing about Larsa. You know, I love to whack Larsa. I love to hate Larsa. She's great for Housewives. You just have someone that's so sure of themselves and so wrong so often. it's good TV, but like Larsa just getting on camera left and right, taking shots at people, always on defense.
Always.
Everything is always like, why did you say it like that? Like she's DeLulu, boots down.
Yeah.
And
boots down.
And it's what we love about Larsa. We love to hate her. Any final thoughts on Miami, Maddie?
I don't think so. I think, like you said, it was a little bit of a filler episode, but I could watch these girls knit. So I love it.
It's so unserious. And that's what we love about it. Let's go over to the Real Housewives of Beverly Hills.
Going on in your personal life that you would like to share
with what though? Like what?
Her marriage.
Really?
Yes. What's with the new band?
That's what she wants to know?
No, I want to know. What's with the new wedding band?
You haven't been wearing your wedding ring. What? It's in the bank. Your big diamond?
Well, you know, all of these things kind of add up. So this is what you're gossiping about, that I had a different ring on that I bought myself?
Oh, hell, I didn't wear mine for years.
I thought it was a makeup band.
A makeup band? What does that mean?
When your husband messes up and you get a gift, I have a diamond cross.
Oh, girl. Did it burst into flames? Are you kidding me? Does that exist?
Yes, they buy you something to forget what they did.
Oh, my God. I used to get cards.
Okay, girl.
Really, you got cars.
Okay. I got an answer, Martin.
The Dinner Party from Hell, part Trace. Here's the thing I'll say, first and foremost. When these Housewives franchises, or when any show tries to call back to something iconic years ago, they don't always land.
Deliver. Yeah.
Now, Dinner Party from Hell, part two was good. You know, you had Erica. What did she say? She's like, let go of me. You can let go of me. I can't even remember. Like, all the lines from Erica at that table, she was acting down.
Acting.
But even then, I was kind of like, okay, yes, this was a dinner party from hell. But y'all are really attaching that name from the original to this part two because you want to build up that excitement when nothing will ever compare to the original Dinner Party from Hell. However. Yeah. However, Dinner Party from Hell Part 3, I honestly assumed it was going to be even more of a reach. I was like, wow, they are really attaching themselves to Dinner Party from Hell for everything. No, I think this absolutely qualified.
This blew Part 2, the Dinner Party 2, out of the water. Like, that wasn't need to be called a Dinner Party from Hell. It was so good. It was, and they did a really good job, like, lining up the story beforehand with, like, the groundwork. So you knew who was beefing coming into it. And with the extra characters, the Denise, the Camille, even Cynthia being there, like everything just was perfect.
I mean, this was you talk about BravoCon. This was a BravoCon in Kyle's home. Kyle hosted a THC dinner. And of course, Garcelle, what if we don't want to partake?
I saw somebody tweet. It was the video of all of them, like, doing if they want a THC or not. And somebody tweeted, they're like, taking notes on who the losers are.
AKA Garcelle.
And Denise.
Yeah. Well, I'll give her a pass because she's carrying a little bit. So let's talk about all the characters we got. So Faye Resnick shows up. The morally corrupt.
Yes. The morally corrupt Faye Resnick. I just have to talk a little bit about Justin Sylvester because I want one of my friends to date him so bad so we can just get in that scene. I love him. He was an E! News correspondent and was Kyle's nanny and now he's like always in the scenes. He was the only guy there. So can you date him or something?
I mean, yeah, like give me his number.
Slide into his DMs.
Okay, I'll try. I would love to enter the Kyle Richards universe.
And I think he's a little bit past 30, maybe in his early 40s or late 30s. So, and he's hot. So I'll send you his. Well, I'll send you his Instagram.
Right up my alley, please do. We had him. We had the morally corrupt Faye Resnick, and then we have now. This was criminal. They bring Cynthia Bailey into this house with Sutton and they don't even give her a name tag. They don't even give her
a
graphic on the screen. This is Sutton's friend. Last week, Lars's big ass got labeled Garcelle's friend at Garcelle's little movie launch or whatever.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, so why can't Cynthia Bailey get a Sutton's friend name tag?
Yeah,
it's like so exciting to see another housewife from another franchise on this one, and they just barely gave her any anything, and that was a little bit annoying to me. So we had Cynthia Bailey, Faye Resnick, then the dynamic duo, we had Camille Grammer and Denise Richards waltz in, if you will.
Listen,
remember when, okay, so years ago when Camille came on that, was it the season 10 reunion or what, was she like clearly was on something?
Yes.
I think whatever she was on, she gave Denise a handful of those in the car for this dinner because Denise is on something and it's not THC.
She is on something. And it was very apparent just the way her mannerisms were, the way she was talking at the table. Was she drinking? I couldn't tell if she was drinking or not.
There must have been a cocktail, whether it was drugs and alcohol or, I don't know, things combined. We know that we're getting to a sloppier place, I think, next episode, based off the famous clip that's already going all over the internet. But yeah, she and Camille walk in. Faye changed her seat at the table because she's
good.
Not
I don't know why they placed her by her.
I know why they placed her by her. They knew they were filming. It would have been, but yeah, I mean, this is just a cast of characters, and we can't forget the newest housewife also debuted here.
Anne Marie, who is getting called Anna Marie and Anne Marie by everybody. So what is the truth? Every single one of the cast members called her a different name. They called her either Anne Marie or Anna Marie.
Right. I keep accidentally calling her Anna Marie, but it's actually,
because that's what they were calling her on TV.
Yeah, it's Anne Marie, and it's one word.
One word, yes.
Anne Marie Wiley, and her husband made transphobic comments once, and
she did too.
I think she like defended him on social media for sure. So I think even when she was announced by casting, it was like, ooh, that's not. And then, and now as of the last couple of weeks, he's been accused of sexual assault, and she posted something cryptic about like life. Like, ignore the haters. And it's just like, this is just not, it's not going to age well. I don't think it's going to age well. I don't think she's going to age well on this show. And the rumors are she's already getting demoted. So
demoted. Yeah. Before we get too into this dinner party, can I go back in the episode a little bit? Because I think that's kind of what helped build up some of these tensions.
Oh, yeah. Let's rewind a little bit.
So there was the very first opening scene. It was Dorit, Kyle, and Crystal all getting together. And they kind of mentioned like Sutton's habits. And Crystal, yes, I'm liking her being shady, but she's being fucking annoying to me. Because she mentions like, she was like, oh, really? They're going to be the ones to talk about Sutton's drinking when we all know Dorit's drink. And I'm like, we all know Sutton's drink. It's Kettle on the Rocks with a side of grapefruit juice. She brings grapefruit juice in her bag.
Yeah, cranberry juice, right?
The grapefruit juice.
Oh, okay. I thought she always had the Ocean Spray cranberry.
It's juice. Ocean Spray grapefruit.
Oh, okay.
She brought it out at her. Then there, flash forward, there's a dinner with her and Garcelle, and she brings it out because she gets a Kettle on the Rocks and then brings out her grapefruit juice.
Yeah, I've never seen Dorit get like messy drunk. So just because we know what she orders at the bar does not an alcoholic make.
Yeah. And Crystal being judgmental about Kyle just getting sober. I'm like, that was a little... had a little harsh tone to it. Like, should Kyle be judging everyone because they're getting wasted? No, because that was her last season. But I still think she can say, okay, something's wrong with Sutton. Because there is something wrong with Sutton. The way she acted when they first had their confrontation, like, she was hammered.
Something is definitely wrong with Sutton. And that's kind of like in our group chat, we were discussing, like, whose side are you on? And I feel like a lot of people are on Sutton's side because, you know, rightfully so, Kyle does kind of have a history of treating. Okay.
I'm on Kyle's side. So
I think I ultimately do fall on Kyle's side too, Maddie, because I can see, I feel like Sutton is acting out of pocket, and like the Magic Mike thing was completely ridiculous. However, it's good TV. So it's like, I think it's hard to be like on the one hand, yes, I like it because it's good TV. But if I'm being logical, I'm on Kyle's side because Sutton is being crazy. And I feel like Kyle being sober and Sutton being like, you've changed. She got sober and works out. Like, sue her, Sutton. Your little brittle bone body could benefit from a couple of dumbbell curls. I'm sorry. Maybe you should try working out. Get on Santos track and hop. Well,
that's the annoying thing about people like Sutton that are just naturally skinny. She's never had to work out a day in her life, and her legs are this small. Like, I'm holding up my pinky finger. That's how skinny her legs are. So she doesn't think people like, I think women, even though we like to say, oh, it's so we're healthy, it's so our bodies, when we get older, we can move better. You know, everyone works out for vanity. And when you're built like skinny like that, you really don't have to do it. So maybe she's like, why the fuck is Kyle working out?
Well, I would challenge that, though. My mom is like the same body frame type as Sutton. And my mom does not work out. She's very tiny and she has broken so many bones. Like she actually, the doctors think she has like a bone. Like,
well, yeah, because they're not strong, but then they don't feel the reason. Now she's probably wanting to work out to get stronger, but she never had to work out to get skinny.
You like fall. Yeah, exactly. So I think like, yes, maybe Sutton doesn't feel like she needs to work out because she's so petite, but it's like, girl, I could like the wind could knock you over.
I'm scared. Like, yeah.
And God forbid she ever falls off that horse. I don't think because I don't think she'll ever get back up. I'm
worried for that. She also.
Yeah.
The other reason why I'm kind of enjoying Sutton, even though I'm Team Kyle, is how shady she was being about Kyle's ring. Before we get to the Morgan Wade scene, we get Sutton and Garcelle talking. She's like, oh, I knew something was up because she had a different ring. And it's like, how did you notice that? Like, she is so creepy. And then, oh, I'm all over the place. But then Garcelle makes this one comment that threw me through the loop. She's like, I don't notice jewelry except when Dorit had hers after the robbery. I'm like, Garcelle.
That was like below the belt.
I couldn't believe she said that.
Do people really, like, I know we joke about Dorit staging that for a storyline, but do people really think Dorit didn't get robbed?
I think more people think she didn't get robbed than she did. I think we're the outliers thinking she actually got robbed.
I just find it hard to believe that you would lie about that. But I guess worse has been lied about on Housewives.
I mean, if Garcelle's saying it in confessionals, people are thinking that it's fake.
Okay, so I don't know if I've really had an opportunity to fully weigh in on how I feel about Garcelle this season. I, as you know, have
do always, it.
I've always been Garcelle Sutton stan, and this season I'm Sutton. I can still stand by because she's carrying the show's drama. Like for this season, like she's at the center of all of it. So Sutton, you know, pat on the back. Garcelle, to me, doesn't bring is not bringing anything to this show. I feel like when Rinna was on, and I know I'm one of the ones that called for Rinna to go, I don't think I fully understood that Sutton and Garcelle, so much of their, well, Garcelle, I guess, so much of her purpose on the show was like fighting with Erica when she defended Sutton, or Lisa Rinna, because she had her own beefs with Lisa Rinna. Without Rinna here, and now her and Erica are actually kind of getting along, which I kind of do enjoy a little bit. But Garcelle just doesn't have a whole lot going for her this season. Her storyline is kind of BS. Like, I feel like I failed as a mom. I'm just kind of like, I'm kind of over Garcelle right now. She's getting on my nerves. One of the things I don't like about Garcelle is how she can never fully resolve anything with anybody. She'll be like, I really appreciated Erica's apology. Is it genuine? I'm not sure. But it was a great start. Like, she's always so holier than thou, high and mighty, like kiss the ring. And I'm getting so frustrated that Dorit line, like that was just like,
it was nasty,
nasty and rude. Like Garcelle.
And like, it's not like she needed to add it because they were already talking about like Morgan and Kyle. So like, that's obviously the main storyline. Why are we bringing up Dorit's robbery now? Cause she wanted to whack her a little bit.
Everyone's catching strays, and really, that's just the theme of this season and the theme of this dinner party from hell. But when you talked about Morgan Wade,
she stalked me. She stalked me.
Stalked me. She stalked me.
She stalked me.
She go on my Instagram and stalked me.
I have a little way I feel about this because there's always that, and I'm as a straight person, I feel bad to ever out somebody. So I feel bad saying that I think Kyle's a full-blown lesbian because I don't want to out her before, like, against her will. But that scene, I'm not outing nobody. She's outed herself. And the crazy thing is, I'm going to say something real crazy here. I don't think Morgan likes her as much as Kyle likes Morgan. Were you getting that vibe? Like, Kyle's way more into it than Morgan is. And I think Morgan, she said when she messaged her, everyone's like, oh, Kyle Richards shared your story. All of her friends were like, that's Kyle Richards. I think Morgan's like, you know, thinking, okay, this is Kyle Richards. Everyone knows who she is. I'm going to piggytail back off this. She likes me. Why not like her back a little bit? But I think Kyle is head over heels falling in love for her. The way her eyes lit up and like everything she talked about, it was hard to like look away. I'm like, I am watching a Hallmark Christmas movie.
Yeah. And it's just one of those, like, I mean, I would love to hear what Jenna Lyons on Roni thinks about this whole thing.
That Jenna, is a good call.
Because Jenna kind of had the same thing happen. Wasn't it like in her 40s? She wasn't really feeling the love with her husband. She met a woman. It kind of opened her eyes to her sexuality. And she left her husband. And I feel Kyle is going through the exact same thing Jenna Lyons went through right now.
Well, and a lot of times, I say a lot of times, most times women that are later in life lesbians or date men until they, it's because they found their person. Like Jess King on Peloton always dated men up until her wife because she was like, that was my person. And I feel like maybe Kyle hasn't ever explored that, but then she meets Morgan Wade and she thinks that's my person. I just feel like the scene of her getting a tattoo with Morgan was so giddy and fun and light. And then she gets in the scene with Mo immediately after, and it just feels tense.
She hates Mo. She hates Mo. And honestly, I'm starting to hate him too. If I hear him say love bean.
What love bean? What? Show me love bean.
Oh, love bean. Love bean. I mean, honestly, if he was cheating on me and I knew it and he was calling me love bean in that little puppy dog voice, I'd want to fucking smack him in the face. Like, you bitch.
Yeah.
Don't call me love bean. You're fucking other ladies. I don't know.
And he's usually around, like when they have dinner parties, he's usually like around at least like by the bar or like says hi to the ladies. He was nowhere to be found in the dinner party from hell scene. Like, I think they're totally living separate lives.
Yeah, I think that their relationship is definitely on the outs. I think we're going to see that happen this season, right? Like because they've separated in real time. Like it's done.
And Kathy even said on Watch What Happens Live, and she was on like one of the morning shows, like with Hoda and Jenna. Oh my God. And she basically confirmed that like they were separated.
Kyle might be the main girl, main girly, but, and maybe this is why she's the main girly, but she leaves a path of destruction everywhere she goes. I mean, she doesn't have good relationship with either of her sisters. Things are falling apart with Mo. And now even with Sutton, like one of her longtime besties, like things are falling apart. Lisa Vanderpump, things completely fell apart. I'm surprised her and Dorit are still on good terms. I'm like, when is that going to fall apart? It feels like I hate to blame it on Kyle, but it feels like Kyle has like the touch of death. Like everything she touches falls apart. Like
Is Kyle so secure in herself? She doesn't keep around people that don't do anything for her anymore. Like when their friendship ends, she's not going to keep them around just to keep them around. She's like, no, I know my worth. I'm not going to keep friends around that aren't the right people for me. And even if that's my sister,
I don't know this whole,
I'm a Kyle apologist. Yeah, I can't help it.
This Morgan Wade thing is just feeling like a fling or I just feel like she's going to, I don't know. I feel like she's going to wake up.
She's going to wake up one day and be like, what did I do?
Yeah. It's not going to be her thing anymore. So I don't know. This season started off a little slow for me. I was like, we've got Salt Lake and Miami on their A game, and we've got Potomac and Beverly Hills on their F game. But I can honestly say, I don't think Beverly Hills is having a flop season. I think that they just needed a little bit of time to get going.
And Mo mentioned that, well, you guys just listened to, like, they almost needed to lay the groundwork without Rinna. They needed to kind of say, okay, these are where the friendships are. These are the dynamics before jumping into it. Now, looking back, I kind of appreciate that because I needed all this, like, kind of groundwork, especially between Kyle and Sutton, to have this dinner party from hell where it means so much. Like, if Kyle and Sutton hadn't beefed at Magic Mike or, like, anything like that, I don't think this party would have had the biggest fight that we saw.
Yeah. Sutton is definitely like, I mean, Kyle and Sutton are sort of the centerpieces of this season.
Yeah. I think Garcelle, though, in that dinner party from hell scene, she kind of won me over and she goes, your marriage.
Yeah. Like, let's talk about the husband. Seriously.
Because Sutton, like, was tiptoeing around everything. And Garcelle just goes, your marriage. That's what she's talking about. Oh. I thought that was good. And everyone else's face when she said your marriage, was like they saw a ghost. They couldn't believe that she said that.
I need next week. I need to see like where this dinner party goes. Also, can you refresh my memory? Why does Erica hate Denise? They were like great when they were on the show together. Like Erica seemed to love Denise and honestly almost sucking up to Denise because of Denise's celebrity status at the time.
I'm trying to think when I watched what happened between them. I don't know if it was, I wish I had Mo and Zach here because they're like Beverly Hills, like aficionados.
Because Denise literally like asked her, like, what happened? Like when I was filming with you guys, you loved me. And then a year later, it wasn't so
pleasant.
Do
you think it was Rinna? Was Rinna the reason that like,
that could be
and
it.
Erica was just on Rinna's side? Yeah,
because Erica and Rinna are pretty much, they have the same opinion on everything, it seems.
And I think Rinna was going after Denise and like, ooh, you're so angry. Like that whole thing.
Yeah,
and Erica just became Rinna's like, I got your back in this.
I just want to know what leads to Erica being like, did you know you can buy a $7 naked bundle of Denise Richards on
OnlyFans?
On OnlyFans. I guess there's more to come on that, but they are giving us a lot of cameos this season, which we were worried.
Yeah, and I was initially. We were worried about them. Yeah, we were worried that the cameos were like a Hail Mary, but I'm enjoying them because the cameos aren't doing the heavy lifting.
They're not
accessories, and that's what I like.
They're accessories, and it's just kind of nice. So,
yeah.
Any thoughts on this week's episode of Beverly Hills, Maddie?
I think we're good to move on.
I think we should move on to Utah and talk about the Real Housewives of Salt Lake City.
I pumped the brakes and I need to talk to you about it because we are friends and we're working on a new friendship that's better than the last one.
Wait, I'm so confused.
Like after Palm Springs, I pumped the brakes because it evoked a lot of feelings in me that I'm like, this is not something I like.
So did you pump the brakes with Angie then too?
No, I didn't pump the brakes with Angie, but I had a direct...
So you were fine with the way she treats me, but my...
I'm not fine with the way she treats you.
...reaction to it, which was very minor in comparison to the way she treated me, caused you to pump the brakes with me.
I'm not getting in between you two.
You are supporting her, but pumping the brakes with me.
I'm not supporting her. I'm not supporting anything.
Let me make this clear. I am not the one bringing the tornado through, nor do I feel I need to be, because I know karma comes back. Mm-hmm. It does.
Let me make something very clear, Maddie. Meredith is not the one bringing the tornado. karma come back. Like the way she just like, you can barely understand what the bitch is saying.
Thank God I can put subtitles on when she talks. Cause what is she saying?
We need more Meredith with whatever wine, Xanax, cocktail she's got going on. I just want more of it. I want more. She just, you know, the rumors and the nastiness. The bringing the tornado, Meredith, you know, Zach kind of coined this. Salt Lake is a parody of Housewives. And I think that is so spot on. Meredith is the matriarch of that parody. Like she is just everything that you would think of an eccentric housewife, the wine, the drug. I don't know. Just
it's like she's in a play being a housewife.
She's playing. She's like this.
Yeah.
He was playing a housewife. So this season, this episode was titled Icy Apologies. And the theme of the episode was essentially people trying to make up ahead of the already iconic Bermuda cast trip that we know is going to blow the top off everything.
Yeah.
Everyone leaves that trip hating Monica. It apparently did not resolve at the reunion. Heather said on the red carpet the other night that there was no resolution like you usually get in reunions and that she personally will never film with Monica ever again. Which I say to that, Heather, you will not be filming season 5 then because we will have Monica Garcia. We will have Monica Garcia on that goddamn season 5.
I mean, Monica has a lawsuit against Heather's business. I understand Heather's side of it.
I mean, yeah,
she's going after her business.
If anyone was, yeah, you're gonna, if you're suing their business, I can see that. I mean, I think about like Melissa and Teresa on Jersey, like they somehow can still film, and yeah. and like that show is still going on even despite Melissa and Teresa refusing to film together. So I know there's a way Salt Lake can make this work.
I mean, Heather likes being loved, and this season she's being loved again. Season one, everyone loved her, then we hated her. Now we're kind of back on the Heather train. And so I think she'll do anything to keep that going. Of course, she's going to say all of this now. But when they're like, oh, do you want to film again? Monica's going to be here. She's going to say yes.
Yeah, I think so. I think she
will.
Did you also see that Heather is on Ozempic?
Yeah, and it's not working, she said.
It kind of is, though. I mean, like, her face looks different.
I can go on an Ozempic little journey right now because my mom is on it. And the proper way to do Ozempic is not massive weight loss quick. Not how Erica Jane did it. Not how maybe even Dolores or, like, people you're seeing in the media go from, Emily. It's not meant to do that. It's meant to be something that happens at a slow pace, maybe 2 pounds at most a week until you notice a difference. And it took my mom almost like 2 or 3 months before I even noticed a difference on her. And she was taking it all the time. But it's because if you're doing it prescribed by a doctor, not a med spa, because med spas are now prescribing it. If you're doing it prescribed by a doctor, it's supposed to be something that's easy, that when you get off of it, you don't revert back to your old habits. And when you lose weight that quickly, I mean, in any diet, like when people do like Whole30 for a month or they go vegan for a month, the minute they introduce other foods, they blow back up because they didn't learn how to properly lose the weight. So I think Heather's doing it the right way. If she's slowly losing the weight and it's not a huge difference now, like she's going to be better off in the long run than somebody who did it to lose 30 pounds in 2 weeks.
To your point, like I did Whole30 a few years ago, and a lot of the first weight to on this is probably true, not even just for Whole30. The first weight to go is the water weight. And if you're if you're eating things that are causing inflammation, the inflammation will die down first. And then you might feel like your jeans fit better. Maybe your Apple Watch, you can like lower, you can like notch it more, right? Like I remember my Apple Watch became really loose around my wrist. It wasn't that I was actually like losing a bunch of weight. My wrist just wasn't as swollen because I wasn't eating things that cause your body to swell. Like, you know?
So yeah.
I think that you're right. Like it is incremental. And I even feel like a lot of times, like I like to do intermittent fasting and stuff. And I feel like I just lose the water weight. And then I'm like, oh, I dropped 5 pounds. But then the next moment I eat a meal,
yep,
I go back up 6 pounds. And I'm like, how did I gain 6 pounds from one meal? No, baby. It's just like, your body had no water in it. That's all it is, you know. So but you know, I support Heather on whatever journey she's on, and her cousin Whitney is on a healing journey.
Oh, this episode I felt multiple emotions for Whitney, because in the beginning of the episode you find out her friend has cancer and has been living through cancer, and we get quite a few flashbacks from this friend being at parties the past 4 years with Whitney. Like, she's always at any event that Whitney throws, this person is there. And you're kind of like, why are we getting this backstory now? Like, what's going on? And then we find out mid-episode that her friend passed, which I can't even imagine how she was still filming. I would have been like, cut the cameras, dead ass. Like,
yeah,
do not film.
You know, her that was really sad that her friend, she lost her friend.
So sad.
We're kind of jumping around a bit, but I feel like it was a stretch, though, for her to lose her shit on Lisa Barlow that way.
That's exactly what I was thinking. I'm like, you're crazy. I put in my notes, like, Whitney is so dramatic, but then I have to think what death does to you. Like, she's not in her right mind. I really think that when she came at Lisa, it wasn't warranted, but at the same time, you don't know how to react when you're going through a death. Like, she's probably not even eating right. She's not sleeping. You're just on edge. So one thing set her off. And Lisa, this is where I'm on Lisa's side, because when somebody does have a death that happens to them, you want to almost not avoid it, but you don't know what will trigger them and what will set them off. They are at a public party for an event for Meredith. And Lisa's just trying to say, okay, we've talked about it. Lisa, I mean, Whitney even said in her confessional, Lisa was the first person she told. So in Lisa's mind, Lisa's like, okay, we've talked about it. I don't need to bring it up. I'm just kind of going to bypass it so we can have a quote unquote normal night. And that's what sets Whitney off. But I'm on Lisa's side for that. Like, she was probably just trying to like make sure Whitney doesn't break down, because the minute she mentioned it to Meredith, she broke down, you know?
Yeah, she literally, I don't think she just wanted to rock the boat with Meredith or with Whitney. Like, their friendship is still like, this is like a new thing watching Whitney mm-hmm. and Lisa be friends. She's probably just trying to tread lightly. It's also something I think like these ladies need to understand, like, people are who they are. And Lisa Barlow is Lisa Barlow. She's always going to talk a lot. She's always going to talk about herself. She's always going to loop things back around to be about herself. It doesn't necessarily make her a bad person. Maybe she is genuinely trying to relate to your story by sharing something similar that happened to her. These ladies just take everything that happens, everything Lisa Barlow does, they just take it so offensively. And I think
I'm so over the Lisa Barlow takedown. It's happening on every side.
Like, this is who Lisa Barlow is. You guys either take it or leave it. Or if I was Whitney, take it or live it. You know, it's like, just like, you need to just like quit. You need to like lay off her a little bit, I think. So,
I mean, even Monica's scene with Mary, they're talking shit about Lisa. Lisa is catching strays at every angle, even though Monica's impression of Lisa was a 10 out of 10, and I loved it.
Yeah. Monica, I could listen to Monica. That's the one exception. Monica's allowed to beef with Lisa because she's new. And their beef is like, it'd be like, you know, what would the sun be without the moon? You know, and vice versa.
Yeah.
I feel like they are the natural cycle of life. The Lisa Barlow, Monica Garcia fighting. They had a really cute, like, makeup scene this episode.
Yes, at the end of the episode.
At Meredith's affordable plated jewelry. I was laughing because it said affordable jewelry party. And then, like, I saw a price tag and it was like $1,500.
A regular jewelry mixed in. It's like, girl, please.
That's
who are you trying to fool?
Okay. Because then she was like, when she was talking about the plated line, she was like, everything here is $50 to $500. And I almost felt like she was about to be like, so Monica, don't worry. You have options.
We got you. We got you, girl.
Monica, there's options for you. that don't involve stealing Lisa's ring from the
yeah, pump. We'll get you a ring, Monica. We got you ring.
So yeah, that was really nice. I feel like Monica is really good at apologizing. To Heather's point, you know,
Jen Shaw, are you going to bring that up?
Well, because I don't agree. Because y'all know I'm the world's biggest Monica Garcia stan. Monica, if you're listening, please come on our podcast. We want to talk to you. Absolutely love Monica, and every tongue that rises against her shall fall. But. But with that said, you know, Heather tried to make this weird parallel between Monica and Jen and like how they both act, you know, kind of they both fly off the cuff and then come back, walk it back. And they're like, I didn't mean that. I'm sorry. But Monica Garcia is not Jen Shaw. Okay.
No, I see what Heather is doing. And I think Heather meant it more as, I've gotten wrapped up with somebody in this exact same way. I'm going to keep my distance with Monica, and comparing it to Jen, because what she went through was she was Jen's best friend. So when Jen, everything with Jen hit the fan, she was the one who basically was collateral damage. And so she doesn't want that to happen again with Monica. And so she's saying that she sees the pattern. And I agree with what she means, but no, I don't think Monica's Jen Shaw, but I do understand where Heather was coming from. She's keeping her distance because she cannot get canceled again for someone else.
It's just like, Monica is, I just don't understand how they all hate her so much. I know we haven't seen Bermuda yet, and it feels like
I'm very curious to what's going to happen in Bermuda.
So in the season trailer at the very beginning, you know, we see them sitting on the beach in beach chairs and Monica being like, I would fuck blank, blank, blank. Like, it was like,
yeah,
she was saying she would fuck people's husband. I feel like that might have set them off because, you know, this is a group of women who are offended over a bathtub reference. So I feel like if you say you're going to fuck, you would fuck their husband, even if you're joking. I could see that being like literally World War III for like Meredith. But there's also a clip of Heather saying to someone, pack your bags and go. I feel like she's talking to Monica.
Oh, I know. I can like spiral so many ways. Luckily, we'll get it next week because I've been waiting all season for it. Weird. I'm all over the place this episode, especially with Salt Lake City. With Mary, so Mary's not on the cast trip. And then Mary was at Kathy Hilton's Christmas party this past weekend and mentioned that the producers were kind of icing her out. And that's why she wasn't on the cast trip.
Yeah, I'm curious why they just, like, the producers are clearly the reason she got back on. Like, why did they change their mind?
I think Mary's lying because I don't think the producers are icing her out. I think the producers see that when she's in a scene that she's not comfortable and she leaves. The après-ski party, she left. The her Whitney sitting down, she left. So the producers are trying to make her on the show. They're like, okay, we can send Heather over to your house. Now we're sending Monica over to your house. The producer can only do so much. So I felt like in that sense, they were just like, they didn't offer her the trip because she wasn't pulling her weight.
Yeah.
Maybe.
She literally in the same breath was like, wasn't it Teddy interviewing her?
Yeah.
He was like, thank God I wasn't there because I would have been bored out of my mind. Like,
yeah,
have it both ways. Like, do you want to be included or do you want to? And then if you are included, are you just going to sit there with your arms crossed and not get off the sprinter van? Like, that's not cool.
Exactly. Because the only thing she's really done is people come to her house.
Yeah, they come to her house. The fact that like she did tell Teddy in that interview, though, that like no one leaves the reunion happy with Monica except for her. She's like, I've got Monica's back. And here's what I'll say. All these women are comparing Monica to Jen, and they're like, and they're using her proximity to Jen as a red flag. And they're accusing her of, you know, she's being accused of stealing Botox from Beauty Lab and Laser. And she's being accused of being this nefarious person that like all will be revealed. Like, Monica is not the innocent angel that you all think she is. And they're making this whole thing about Monica. And then Jen Shaw's biggest op, the person that hates Jen Shaw arguably more than anybody on this planet, Mary Cosby. Mary doesn't see Monica as like the new Jen Shaw. And she's not bothered by Monica's past connections to Jen Shaw. If anything, she's the only one who has Monica's back and is defending her against these ladies that like, she's clearly not Jen Shaw 2.0. Mary Cosby would not be her friend if so.
Okay, Monica Nader, take a step back. I agree a little bit, but I also think Mary, maybe after this reunion, is like, okay, I do want to be on the show, and the only way I can be on the show is if I have an ally. And so she's aligning herself with the only person that she can, because nobody else probably really cares that much. Well,
at one point, Mary loved Whitney. And I think that Whitney and Monica remind me of each other. It's like the younger girl on the cast that maybe is a little bit more malleable. They are more willing to pay respect to Mary and not challenge her. And I think that's what Mary likes in a friend. And as soon as Whitney started challenging Mary, it was over. And I feel like as soon as Monica starts talking back, it'll be over. But right now, Monica just sort of lets Mary tell her she eats too much food and other things, you know?
How funny that Mary made her or bought her cake for when Monica came over, even though she's basically fat shamed Monica like twice, saying how much she eats, and then brought her cake. She's like, are you liking the cake? She literally says, do you like the cake?
Like, listen.
Mary's evil. I'm sorry. Mary is evil.
The last time we saw Monica eating cake was when she met up with Angie, who was not in this episode at all, by the way. Angie made no.
She was.
Oh, she was?
She was in the episode. Oh. Yeah, they went over to her house
to talk to her about
not coming to... Heather was like, so you're not coming because you weren't invited. Oh,
yeah, because Angie's like, I wasn't invited. Yeah, you weren't invited because you called Meredith's jewelry dusty in the first like fucking episode of the season. Of course she's not inviting you to her fucking jewelry event. Okay, you're right. My mistake to everybody. Angie did make a brief appearance in this episode.
Brief.
The part was really not there. But I live for Monica and her cake. I want some cake too. Girl, I'll share a cake with you. Just come on.
I mean, she loves desserts enough to take pastries away from people at the party. Yeah.
No,
Monica, that was so funny.
She's the people's princess, okay? And we're going to have her on season 5. Like I said, over my dead body, will she be taken off the show? She is the best part of this season, hands down. She has been the reason, her and Angie K have been the reason the show has been funny as fuck this season. I'm not saying, yeah. I'm not saying the other women haven't done anything. Everyone.
They've elevated it
the most. Everyone is clocked in. Everyone is earns their flowers. But here's what I will say. It wouldn't be what it is if these two ladies weren't kind of shaking things up and creating these new relationships. But Mary loves Monica. And in that scene where she had her over for cake, I was crying because she's sitting there telling Monica how to behave, but she would never behave that maturely herself. I love how Monica's like, well, those who can't do teach. And then for like her, that's why I told Lisa she was wrinkly and I meant it. And then Mary's like, Monica, you can't say that. And then you watch her hold back an inch ball. Like she like her face, she's like trying not to laugh. Like, you know,
she's literally like, you can't say that. I'm like, you called Heather inbred. And you double down on
Heather inbred, and you know she's loving it. She's loving Monica calling Lisa wrinkly. Like, she's sitting there trying not to itch ball. Mary is so
saying itch ball.
Mary is so funny, and just a kook. So, any other thoughts on this week's episode of Salt Lake?
One last thought: modern missionary menswear. That's the story.
Lisa Barlow. I could totally say, this is my mom. Like, my mom took me like shopping for like a homecoming and was trying to do the most in that goddamn.
Why is there a missionary shop? Modern missionary menswear. It was like they're like the Lululemon pants. I bursted out laughing to that. That was top tier Mormon Utah community.
Yeah, just ridiculous. So I guess we'll wrap up this week's episode of It's About Bravo with a quick and dirty recap on The Real Housewives of Potomac.
This is not my fault.
You fucked up the tempo.
You and your green ass is going to get away from me.
No, I'm going to.
I don't know you.
You know me enough to have your mom threaten me, baby.
Pull up the phone records, then.
I have a screenshot of the phone records. She called my in-law on Good Friday. Happy Good Friday to that.
You sound so crazy. She said the same thing about me.
Yes.
I'm crazy, too.
Oh, in a bird brain.
You've been a hater since day one. You've been a hater
on me
since...
I hate on you for what?
For everything.
You could never.
For everything, baby.
You could never, my darling.
For everything,
baby. Sit down. Wendy, sit down.
For everything.
She has no response.
You hating on me for everything. You came to deliberately attack me. It failed.
Your mom called you to my in-law.
Oh, it failed. It failed.
Attack you for what?
It's a flop.
Wendy, attack you for what?
It's a flop.
For what?
It's a flop.
No, what is it that
it's
you have?
It's a flop.
Put on a show,
it's
baby.
A
put on a show.
It's a flop.
Put on a show.
It's
you
a
know
flop.
Exactly what it is. I don't even want to be like this.
Sundays used to be one of my most looked forward to days of the week. It's when I have no obligations, nothing to do. I can lay on my couch all day, be a vegetable, avoid the Sunday scaries, and put a nice little bow on the end of my Sunday night with my favorite Bravo television. What happened? Because Real Housewives of Potomac is honestly in the gutter this season. It's on life support and it needs the, like, it and Atlanta are just really like they're having a flop off this year for me.
The minute pickleball was mentioned, I'm like, oh, they have nothing.
They have
nothing this season.
Nothing. I mean, this episode was just, again, a whole lot of fucking nothing. You want to go back to Beverly Hills when Anne Marie Wiley said, you guys are saying a lot of nothing. Potomac is giving a lot of nothing, okay?
And I feel bad because, like, I feel Karen is trying to... This is the first group scene. What are we on, episode 4?
And Karen finally got them together.
She's trying to get them together, and it is just chaos. And it's not good chaos. It's not fun to watch chaos.
I
don't think there's a path forward with this cast because some of them have done each other so dirty. Candace does not want to even be in the same room with Giselle, and I don't blame her. Ashley is about right there with Candace because Ashley's husband, because no, she's still not getting a divorce. Her husband is suing Candace. Like, it's getting a little dark.
It's getting dark, and they're running out of places to go. To your point, there's not a lot left to explore between these women, because I think Karen versus Giselle and Karen versus Robin will always be entertaining, even when there's not a lot of substance. It'll always be funny. But Giselle's running out of shit because now she's picking fights with her bestie. Like, the fact that Giselle has nothing left to do, she's gone after everybody, and now she's going after Juan. Robin is just not deserving of a, you know, champagne glass, champagne flute at
all. She 100% don't care.
Mia is in her paper plate era. And her and Gordon are on the outs. And I loved Mia for what she brought to the show, especially her fighting with Wendy. But I think Mia and Wendy could both get the chop. Wendy is not bringing anything. Wendy
NECA could get the chop too, honestly, in my opinion.
I like NECA. I feel like NECA should dethrone.
You'll eat your words.
I'm willing to see more from NECA, I'll say. I think Wendy has run out of room to grow. I think there's nothing left for her. This whole issue over witchcraft and here's the thing. A lot of people online are saying that if you are West African, you know how damning of an accusation this is.
To say you're Osu.
To say you're Osu, and it can actually have, like, there are a lot of people in our comments being like, I can't believe Bravo's entertaining this storyline. It's actually really culturally insensitive.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like Bravo has entertained a lot worse. So, you know.
Yeah. Don't blame Bravo.
I really don't
Ashley Darby.
Don't blame Bravo.
Don't blame Bravo. Blame Ashley Darby.
Yeah. Blame Ashley Darby. What's going on, Maddie? What's going on?
What is going on?
One of my favorite fucking franchises. What's going on?
It's one of my favorites, too. Have you listened to this week's Las Culturistas?
No, I kind of took a Las Culturistas hiatus, actually.
Oh, well, you should get back on because Bowen Yang's I Don't Think So, Honey. Is it Bowen or Matt's? I don't know. One of their I Don't Think So, Honey is The Real Housewives of Potomac. And they went in on why they don't think so, honey, that Real Housewives of Potomac. And I'm like, I agree. Like, it used to be the best show on Bravo, and now they're doing nothing. Like, fire Robin and Giselle. Fire them. Because they're just bringing back all this dark shit. Like, it's always about someone's husband. Like, that's always Giselle's storyline, is going after someone else's husband. And to your point, she's ran out of husbands, so now she's doing Juan. Like, what?
I don't know. Like, do you feel like who would you? Yeah. What would you do? Zach is going to rake us through the coals. How do we fix Potomac, guys? Maddie, what would you do? What would you do for season 9?
I keep Karen. I keep Candace. Shit. I would keep Wendy. I like Wendy. I'm sorry. I do. I think she elevates the group, and when she's good, she's good.
I think she tries too hard. Like, even her being like, it's like her. Yeah, she just, I feel like everything's rehearsed.
I like her with Candace because they're friends. So I feel like Candace needs a friend and Karen. And I think add some new people in. The hard thing about Potomac, which we don't have with Atlanta, is Atlanta had a lot of heavy hitters back in the day. So now we can say, oh, bring back some of these heavy hitters. Potomac doesn't have that option. Bring back Katie. Bring back Charisse.
That's what I was about. No, let's bring back Katie. I saw her tweet the other day that she's trying not to have sex with her ex-boyfriend anymore, and it's just giving Katie Ross chaos. And
maybe bring back Katie, but fire Robin, Giselle, and I honestly like fire Ashley.
I know.
Unless
Ashley, without Michael Darby, it's like, what has Ashley got going on? It sucks. I love it so much. One of my favorites.
Ashley causes drama that, like, is not necessary, but I think it's because she wants the show to be good. So maybe if she's not surrounded by the evil Robin and Giselle, then she can cause mess in a better way. So maybe I'll keep her.
I think.
What would you do?
I would do what the rumors are. Atlanta's going to be three ladies plus new ladies. And that's what the Miami soft reboot was. It was three ladies plus new ladies. I think they could do that. I think you could. And I know that you want Wendy, but I have the same opinion you do, except I would change out Wendy for Ashley. So I would keep Karen, Ashley, and Candace. Everybody
as long as Candace is saved, that's all I care about.
I think Karen, Ashley, and Candace can stay. I think everybody else goes, and then maybe you bring back Katie Ross. So that's four, and then you do like two new women, and I feel like that could be an opportunity to start a new path. They have run out of room. There's nowhere to go.
We need opulence back, because what was this pickleball party?
We need opulence.
Paper plates. Like,
paper plates and pickleball is not what I'm looking for on my Potomac.
No, that's not what they are.
Yeah, we need opulence. You own
opulence. Everything. You own everything.
You know what I am looking forward to on Sunday nights, Maddie?
What?
Married to Medicine.
Yeah, say it.
Married to Medicine is good. I've never seen it before. This season is really entertaining. I love Sweet Tea just being like, just that they're dunking on her left and right. This latest episode with the wedding. Phaedra is a villain, just like bringing Quad into the bachelorette party or whatever. I mean, and then this episode with Dr. Heavenly being like, why did you do that? And her being like, well, I didn't really.
I thought she changed the vibe.
Phaedra is not changed one bit, and we love it. We're going to do a Patreon on Married to Med, so I'll save a lot of my opinions on that. But at least we have one thing to look forward to on Sunday nights.
Yes. They are the reason I'm watching live on Sunday nights. Sometimes I watch them live and then I save Potomac.
Oh, I save
during the week when I'm bored.
I save Potomac until the last fucking minute because I'm like, ugh. We guess what else we have to look forward to starting next week, I believe.
Southern Hospitality, December 7th. Is that where you were going?
I was going to say Legacy. Isn't that next week or is it the week after? I thought
there's so much good. I didn't even know.
I thought Roni Legacy Ultimate Girls Trip started next week, but maybe it starts the week after.
Maybe.
Roni Legacy.
I just know Southern Hospitality starts back, and I'm very excited about that.
Yeah, Southern Hospitality is next week, actually. And we'll do a Patreon on that, too, because we don't have time to talk about that on the main show. But I was wrong. Roni Legacy is December 14th. So we have 2 weeks, but it's coming, y'all. It's coming.
It's coming.
We'll be talking about it. And God damn it, we'll be talking about it on the main podcast, even if I have to fucking kick Potomac to the curb, because we will be covering Luann, Sonia, Kristen, Kelly, and not Ramona. But I'm so excited. We do have a lot to look
at. Wow, I'm so excited. Christmas came early.
It did come early. Any final thoughts on Potomac or anything on Bravo, Maddie?
I don't think so.
This has been such a good episode. I've had so much fun. It's been good to get back on the mic with you. I love that we were able to hear from Mo. Guys, thank you for listening. You know where to find us, About_Bravo, Twitter, TikTok, Instagram. Subscribe to our Patreon. More episodes coming. And stay tuned after the outro music here. I'm going to play a couple clips from some of our more recent Patreon episodes just to give you a little taste and see if you want to hit that subscribe button and support us in what we're doing. Thanks for listening, guys. We will see you next week.
Bye.
Hey guys, as promised, here are a few sneak peeks at the bonus content you can find on our Patreon, link in bio, $3 a month. It goes a long way. Thanks for your support. First up, the latest episode on our Patreon, me and my friends Mikey and Coop talking all about Netflix's Selling Sunset season 7.
Oh, I feel like he's got to be good and bad.
Doesn't he have like a big dick?
I mean,
I would hope.
I would at least hope that.
You know, I would expect and hope and.
But you know, that doesn't surprise. Again, like actors and a lot of famous people, I hear like horror stories about.
Maybe he's fine. Maybe she's so.
Maybe
hot
she's so good
she
in bed.
She looks like a porn star and she didn't have it.
If she was comparing it to Nick Cannon, then probably.
Which, ew, does that mean Nick Cannon is better than Michael B.
Well,
Jordan in bed?
You have that many children. Yeah.
I mean, you're good at something. That's true.
You're batting 1,000, literally.
That's true. Nick Cannon's cute, I guess.
He was. You know, he's not 43. Anymore. I just found out.
He's 43?
He married fucking Mariah Carey.
Yeah, unfortunately.
Didn't they have twins?
Yeah.
So, Bree's child is half-siblings with Mariah.
But Mariah Carey, I think, I read somewhere that Mariah Carey's like, no, they're not siblings. It's like, no.
Not surprised. She doesn't
know. Next up, here's a quick clip of me and Maddie talking everything Big Brother season 25 on CBS.
They always try to have an all-women's alliance and it like crumbles so quickly. But I'm like, yeah, let's do it. Let's have an all-women's alliance. Like, let's get out these men. Because also the men are just like, they just play different games. Where I think Suri has been so good in the social game where I think Matt and Jack aren't. I thought Matt was pretty good up until he put just Suri on the block this week. When he promised that he would never put Suri on the block. I'm like, well.
He was like her second son in this
house.
And he completely betrayed her. I mean, to a degree, though, I get it because it's like they're now at final five. So how much longer do you really expect these alliances and these promises to hold up when at this point it's like you gotta, it's kill or be killed. And, you know, as mad as I am that Suri's probably going home this week, it's also not a dumb game move on their part.
Move. Yeah.
Because let's be real. Had they not gotten her out this week, I think she might have taken.
She'd win.
Next up, here's a snippet of me and Annie talking everything Love is Blind season 5 on Netflix.
Like, this girl is a first world problem.
Yes. Can we talk about the cosplay that she was doing when she was in like one persona the entire season and then they went back to her parents' home and she like showed up in a fucking like 50s like fit and flare dress with a headband and I was like, who the fuck are you? We never seen this bitch before.
You could just tell this girl like
she's
and
weird.
Then when I saw she was like a Orange Theory or some sort of instructor, I was like, of course, she was a yoga instructor. Of course, this bitch.
Pilates.
You know, she likes to sit there and be like, she thinks that she's so cool. Okay. So let's talk about their relationship because Izzy wasn't even that into Stacy. Izzy, who is also a little bit of a wrecking ball, love him, but he's a little chaotic and doesn't maybe make the right choices all the time.
He's a producer's dream, I'll tell you that.
And finally, check out a snippet from another episode where Maddie, Annie, and Zach talked everything Southern Charm.
Like, she is like starting to come into her own this season where she has her own like shit going on and is standing up for herself and clocking the fuck in. Like, she read Austin at that bird dinner. On
the bird dinner.
That's what she would say. As she would say, the pigeon dinner.
But I also do think that, like, even if she had some kind of, like, maybe she did, like, it wasn't a huge connection, or she maybe thought it was going to be something. And I don't know what her like major intentions were, but the way she responded to the Taylor situation was so. I agree with you, Maddie. Like and Annie, that like that they were like this manufactured relationship.
Yeah.
But her reaction to finding out Taylor even just thought maybe they could be a relationship, her reaction like gutted me.
And there you have it. Lots more to come. So check out our Patreon, subscribe for $3, and help support our show. Thanks, guys.